This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. You guys can always contribute on Twitter. Hit me up at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Sunday Night Baseball still going on in Philadelphia between the Yankees and the Phillies, where we have had ourselves a night. And for those of you who have been tailing accordingly, you have as well. A perfect 4-0 night for us here on Sunday Night Baseball. Our first wager was the Phillies to win the first five innings, minus a half a run. They did that. We cashed that. We also bet on Will Warren, Yankees starting pitcher, for a couple of different props. The first one was his over 1.5 walks, which we cashed. He finished with 2 walks in just 3 innings. And also, we bet the race to 3Ks up on DraftKings, a fun novelty bet on Sunday Night Baseball, looking at the strikeout market, and Christopher Sanchez on the bump for the Phillies, an overwhelming favorite to win the race to 3Ks, obviously, because he pitches in the top of the first inning, so he has the advantage over Will Warren. But we got plus 265 on Warren to win the race to 3Ks, and he exactly did that. So a nice cash there. Plus, we gave out a live bet, because this show is Live Bet Sunday. We live bet the over 10.5 when the Phillies were up 6-0, and that has cashed, as the Phillies right now have an 11-4 lead over the New York Yankees as they play in the top of the 8th inning at Citizens Bank Park. The final line for Christopher Sanchez, who saw his Cy Young odds take a hit after this performance here tonight. He is now down to plus 950 to win the National League Cy Young, behind his teammate Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale of the Braves, who are plus 750 behind Jacob Mizorowski of the Brewers, who's minus 260. But Christopher Sanchez went 6 innings, allowed 3 runs, quality start, on 6 hits, struck out 6, and walked 3. And he is in line to pick up the win. Meanwhile, Will Warren only went 3 innings for the New York Yankees, getting tagged for 6 runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. So he did go over his K prop. He gave up a solo home run to Bryson Stott in the second inning, but the Phillies piled it on against Ryan Yarbrough in the bottom of the 6th inning, plating 5 across as they have an 11-4 lead over the Yankees. Ben Rice hit a solo home run in the top of the 7th as the Yankees are batting now in the top of the 8th inning. With a win here, the Philadelphia Phillies will still be trailing the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. They will be 5.5 games back of Atlanta. The Yankees, with the loss, will be 3 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East standings. But both the Yankees and the Phillies firmly in the wild card picture right now. The Yankees would be 6 games up on the Red Sox for the first wild card. The Phillies will be a game up on the Diamondbacks for the third wild card. 5 games back of the Cubs for the first wild card in the National League. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by our very own Greg Peterson as we will take a look at tomorrow's slate of Major League Baseball games. Looking at the Monday slate already, we do have an early day game in Texas. The Mariners and the Rangers playing an early start time, early afternoon game there at Globe Life Park. It is the final game of a wraparound series. So we love the wraparound series. Mariners and Rangers at 2:35 Eastern time there from Texas. We'll get Greg's plays for the Monday slate in Major League Baseball. The trade deadline is fast approaching, and you're starting to consider which players are going to be on the move. Earlier today on Sunday, the Miami Marlins lost their 12th straight game. They had a lead after 5 innings, and it serves me right for not betting the first 5 and just betting the Marlins on the money line. But the Marlins lose to the Padres after Luke Bakker came in the 8th inning and gave up 4 runs in the top of the 8th. Marlins lose 5-3 to the San Diego Padres for their 12th straight loss. And a couple of things. One, the Marlins were favored in that game, which is so rare. I looked this up in the history of the database. It goes back to 2004. It's only happened 17 times coming into today that a team had lost 11 straight games and was favored in their 12th, in that next game. They were favored. Those teams were 13-4 straight up. Now make it 13-5 as the Marlins lose. So it's rare that it's happened. The teams are usually the favorite for a reason, and they win those games. Not when you're the Miami Marlins, who I jokingly tweeted out might never win a ball game again. And you start to read the tea leaves and you start to listen to some of the analysis out there. This could be the best thing for this Marlins team, losing 12 games in a row. Losing now could be the best thing to happen to this organization because the Marlins are not a team ready to compete right now. The Marlins are not a contender to represent the National League in the World Series. They are not a contender to win the World Series. They're not a contender to surpass the Phillies and the Braves in the National League East, and they're not a contender to win a series should they get a wild card. They have assets that other teams want, most notably starting pitcher Sandy Alcantara. Former Cy Young Award winner could easily contribute to a contending team's rotation. When the Marlins were winning baseball games and they were three games out of the division, they went into the All-Star break. They're the darlings of Major League Baseball. I'm coming on this network and I'm giving out Clayton McCullough, manager of the year bets, talking about how the Marlins are the best story in all of Major League Baseball. We have to buy in on them now. Well, with all that talk came sort of a shift in focus, right? They went from sure sellers at the trade deadline to a team that says, you know what? Maybe we're not going to trade away Sandy Alcantara. Maybe we're going to be buyers at the trade deadline. But that's not in the best interest of this team. What's in the best interest of this team is to trade away assets now and get ready for a run next year. Because this doesn't have to be a multi-year rebuild for the Marlins. They've clearly shown they have the talent to compete now, just not at the highest level. But next year could be their year. The Phillies roster is going to be another year older, and we'll see what that roster looks like next year. We'll see what the Braves roster looks like next year. The Mets certainly taking a hit. Who knows if they bounce back next year or they look completely different. The Marlins could be a competitive team next season and for the next 3 to 5 seasons after that. The best course of action for this team is to trade their commodities now and get pieces back that can contribute next season and the seasons after that. So this losing streak, arguably the best thing that could have happened for the Miami Marlins, realizing that they still need to be sellers. And now that they're falling further out of it, that's exactly what they're going to be come the trade deadline next week. It's kind of the opposite of what's happening with the Boston Red Sox, where they went from being surefire sellers to now being buyers because they've gone on this incredible tear of winning baseball games. They had the 15-game winning streak. And now the Red Sox are a wild card team in the American League. The season ended today. The Boston Red Sox are in the postseason as the second wild card. They're a game and a half up for that second wild card. And now the Red Sox, you're hearing, are calling other teams about players. I heard the Red Sox were calling the Astros about Jeremy Peña. They already made a trade, sending Connelly Early to Washington for infielder Curtis Meade. Minor deal, but still getting a player that can help them right now. So you're looking at the Red Sox as a team that people thought were going to be sellers at the trade deadline. Now, buyers. Marlins, team that was going to be sellers, then buyers, now going to be sellers again. What other teams are going to be sellers? The New York Mets will be big sellers. Freddy Peralta, going to be dealt. Bullpen, Clay Holmes, AJ Minter, probably going to be dealt. Will Francisco Lindor get traded? What's the future of the Mets going to look like after they trade away some pieces here? Especially if it's big pieces. This season's lost. The Mets are better off for the rest of this season calling up some young talent, developing the guys that they have that might contribute in the next year or so, because Soto's out for the foreseeable future. You should trade away Lindor, right? The Mets should be looking ahead to next season and things like that. So they're going to be big-time sellers. The Giants are going to be big-time sellers. Robbie Ray and Sandy Alcantara will be the top two arms dealt here at the trade deadline. The team that acquires Robbie Ray is going to be a bona fide contender. The team that acquires Sandy Alcantara will be a bona fide contender. Those are the top two arms here at the deadline. Tarek Skubal's not getting dealt. The Tigers are too close in this race for him to get dealt. They're still thinking they have a chance in what is a weak Central Division, and they're only, what, five games out of a wild card right now? Like, there's still plenty of time left in the season for the Tigers to make a little bit of a run, okay? They're not going to trade Tarik Skubal. But you look at the bottom teams here that will be sellers. Like I mentioned, the Giants, the Mets will be sellers. Could the Royals be sellers? It's funny. The Royals were a team that everyone was high on coming into this season, right? You move the fences in. You're going to have more offense in that ballpark. Yeah, too bad the offense is coming from the other team most nights. I want to remind you guys, Circa contests are here. $30 million in guaranteed prizes. That's how you can cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, you pick one winner each week, last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for details. Sunday Night Baseball still going on. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Phillies with an 11-4 lead over the New York Yankees as they look to close out this three-game set, avoid the sweep, and we move on to the Monday slate, where our very own Greg Peterson will join us next to give us his best bets for tomorrow's slate in Major League Baseball. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sunday Night Baseball is headed towards a conclusion here as we are in the top of the ninth now. The Phillies leading the Yankees 11-4 as they look to close things out and salvage the final game of this three-game set. And then both of these teams will hop on a plane and head to different cities for Monday night, where the Phillies will take on the Marlins down in Miami, and the Yankees head to Chicago to take on the White Sox. Will we be doing a Sunday night fade? Let's talk about the Monday slate in Major League Baseball. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line right now is our very own Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show. Wherever you get your podcasts, read Greg's write-ups up on vsin.com. Greg, will we be doing the Sunday night fade tonight with either the Yankees or the Phillies? Maybe both? What do you think?
We're going to go one of the two. Unfortunately for the Philadelphia Phillies, well, they get a Miami Marlins team that quite literally has won zero games since the All-Star break. It is not good for the Miami Marlins, and now they have to face off against Zach Wheeler, who I think there's value on him to be able to win the Cy Young Award because he's going to be mad about that All-Star snub. He has been in absolutely tremendous form, and I think that he has a really good start here against the Miami Marlins. I can do so against the Yankees, though. Max Fried looked really good in his first start against Pittsburgh Pirates coming off the injury list, but do be mindful. This is going to be just his second start in the last 2.5 months. You have a White Sox team that is in the top 10 in terms of run creation, and this Yankees team, assuming that this score holds and they score 4 runs here tonight, they've averaged less than 3.4 runs per game in their last 30 games. Now they've got Cody Bellinger on the injury list. It's just not going good for them. So I'm willing to do so with the Yankees. Just can't do it with the Philadelphia Phillies with the way that the Miami Marlins are playing.
Not going to blame you not wanting to bet the Marlins against Zach Wheeler. Not going to blame you in the slightest. As far as that Yankees fade is concerned, do you want to take the White Sox on the money line? You get plus money on the White Sox. Do you want to maybe play an under or a Yankees team total under? How exactly do you want to fade the Yankees here tomorrow?
If I can get a plus 125, which I've seen one or two out there for the White Sox, I'll be willing to take that. Do need plus money, but I'm in on that 8.5 to the under as well, because I think Max Fried is going to do his part. Maybe he gives up a run or two. Maybe he doesn't like go like 7-plus innings, but I mean, this is a Yankees team that is also number one in terms of bullpen ERA. Now, that was coming into tonight. Obviously, it's been less than savory with Will Warren getting knocked out of the start early, but I mean, the Yankees bullpen has not been the problem for this team. The problem has been the offense scoring 3.4 runs per game, and Noah Schultz, he is giving up over 4.5 walks per 9 innings for the White Sox under the radar. White Sox have been a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA since June 1st. They've really rounded into form there. So if I could get a plus 125, I'll take a shot on the White Sox on the money line. And I like that 8.5 to the under.
We have an early game here, 2:35 Eastern time, first pitch. It's the final game of a wraparound series between the Mariners and the Rangers from Arlington. Seattle, a minus 137 road favorite with George Kirby on the bump. Kumar Rocker scheduled to go for the Rangers. Do you like anything in this matinee?
And thank goodness we actually have a matinee game on Monday. Typically, we don't get a lot of these, so that warms my soul. And I do like the Mariners here on the money line. I was seeing a lot of closer to minus 125 or so. Once you get past minus 130, that becomes a little bit of a point of no return. But that said, for George Kirby, he's had a really nice year. Maybe he's down a little bit with the swing and miss stuff to about 8.1 strikeouts per 9 innings, but less than one home run allowed per 9 innings. George Kirby never walks anyone, so that helps you out. And Kumar Rocker has always been better at home rather than away from him. Career less than one home run allowed per 9 innings at home. His ERA is a full 2.25 points lower for his career at home rather than away from him. Big reason why I like the 8 to the under, even though the Rangers all of a sudden, I believe they played 10 out of their last 12 games to the over. They have really been overwhelming ever since Wyatt Langford has been back in the fold. But for the Mariners, this has been a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA. I do think that George Kirby gives you the better start. So I landed on the Mariners on the money line and this 8 to the under.
Talking to our very own Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show. Download it wherever you get your podcast. Read Greg's write-ups up on vsin.com. Greg, the Washington Nationals are one of the top offenses in all of Major League Baseball. They are coming off of a series in which they scored 10 runs here today against Arizona, 5 in their win on Saturday. We know what they're capable of on any given night, putting up a ton of runs. Tomorrow, they get to face the return of Max Scherzer, who might get excited pitching against the Nationals, but we haven't seen Scherzer since early June, and when we did see him, he was giving up 5 runs a game. So we have the Blue Jays at the Nationals, Washington a minus 131 favorite. I know where I'm going with this, Greg. It's going to be a Nationals team total over. Are we fading Max Scherzer here and the Blue Jays? What do you think?
Oh, I'm absolutely fading Max Scherzer. He's got a 10.29 ERA and hasn't started in a month and a half. He was allowing 3.7 home runs per 9 innings, and it's just one of those unfortunate things in sports. The greats, they sometimes stick around too long. Max Scherzer should right now be retired. He should be getting ready for going to the Hall of Fame in a few years and everything like that. Instead, he's trying to show that he's got something left in the tank, and he's got absolutely nothing. He's getting fewer than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up over 4 walks per 9. And now you have to go up against a Nationals team that, yeah, they traded Curtis Meade about 24 to 48 hours ago, but I mean, this offense is still absolutely loaded. James Wood, C.J. Abrams, 25-plus home runs apiece. Luis Garcia has been absolutely mashing. Keibert Ruiz moves the line. Nassim Nunez is one of the best base dealers in all of baseball. And the Blue Jays are dead last in terms of offense. Like, I actually am going to take a shot on the 10 to the under, because I think with the Blue Jays, with knowing Max Scherzer's coming off the injury list, they're going to have a very quick hook. And the Blue Jays bullpen, it's been okay. Not necessarily great, not necessarily terrible, but for the Blue Jays, I don't think they do their part with this total. I think the Nationals just jump all aboard Max Scherzer. I like the Nationals here on the money line. I did take that 10 to the under because I like Andrew Alvarez as the starter for the Nationals, who's been able to get over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I like the Nationals here. Maybe Nationals first 5. Like, there's so many ways that we can fade Max Scherzer here by going with the Washington Nationals offense. Elsewhere, Greg, you're looking at a couple of games here on the schedule. Cubs with your cousin David Peterson is on the bump against the Cardinals and Matthew Liberatore. It's been an up and down season for Peterson across multiple teams. Cubs, though, they're the first wild card of the National League. They're a team that certainly can make a run in that Central Division, especially when you consider they have 7 games left with the Milwaukee Brewers. But how do you like them going to St. Louis against the Cardinals here, laying a small number?
Fun fact, myself and David Peterson follow each other on social media, so that's actually hilarious, even though there's no relation whatsoever. But that said, I am going to be in on the under here. The Cardinals have been a top three offense in terms of run creation when they've been away from home, bottom three when they've been at home. I do think that there's a little bit of positivity here for Matthew Liberatore as well. Three earned runs or fewer allowed in three out of his last four starts. And the Cubs, they just feel like they're addicted to leaving men on base. We've seen Alex Bregman, Ian Happ be towards the top of the big league level in terms of leaving men on base. And David Peterson, the 5.97 ERA is absolutely awful. Closer to a 4.15 fielding independent, gives up less than one home run per nine innings. In a place where the Cardinals haven't necessarily scored a lot of runs, this was initially a 10. I'm seeing this come down to a 9.5. Whether you've got 9.5 or 10, I do like the under. And being up against the Cardinals, right now I'm seeing about a minus 105 or so. I'm going to land on them on the money line.
Red Sox in Sacramento to take on the A's. Peyton Toll on the mound for Boston. They are laying a big number. Can you get behind maybe a Red Sox run line in Sacramento against the A's?
Absolutely. I'm seeing this right around even money, minus 105. And this Athletics team, at one point they were 38-38. They are now 6-23 in their last 29 games. They just placed Shea Langeliers on the injured list. Who knows? By the time this game starts, they might have traded away another guy or two. So it's really not good for the Athletics. The Red Sox, 17-2 in their last 19 games, and they've been significantly better at home. Like, the Red Sox are like 8 or 9 games above 500 away from home. Away from home, they've been an upper half of the big leagues team in terms of run creation. They're in the bottom 10 away from home. I think that this is a good spot for the over as well, because Sacramento, even without Shea Langeliers, they get back Nick Kurtz. They've been a top 10 team in terms of run creation at home. The ball just flies out there in Sacramento. So I like that 9.5 over, and the Red Sox right around even money or so on that run line.
I think that's the way to go. And I also think Brewers on the run line with Brandon Sproat on the mound against the tanking San Francisco Giants is going to be the way that I'm going to play that late game tomorrow night.
I'm going to be looking a little bit more at the money line, but I'm right there with you. Sproat has actually been significantly better. Three earned runs or fewer allowed in each out of his last five starts. Reason why I'm going to go money line rather than run line for Tyler Molly, he's got an ERA above an 8 away from home. It's a 3 at home, and offense just really gets suppressed in San Francisco. So I'm in on the under, and that's a big reason why, because I think that this could be one of those like classic 4-3, 3-2 sort of games where you just don't get a lot of scoring.
Ah, makes sense. It is a final in Philly. The Phillies, an 11-4 win over the Yankees here on Sunday Night Baseball. He is our very own Greg Peterson. Make sure you listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can read Greg's write-ups up on vsin.com. Greg, enjoy the schedule tomorrow. Enjoy the afternoon game tomorrow, because we very rarely see it. So let's get an early cash for us here on a Monday afternoon.
Absolutely. Same to you, Scott. Thank you so much.
There he is, our very own Greg Peterson. Yes, that afternoon game, 2:35 Eastern time in Arlington. The Rangers hosting the Mariners. Seattle minus 137 with George Kirby on the bump against Kumar Rocker. So little brunch in baseball here in Vegas coming up tomorrow. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. We are over in Philadelphia. Sunday Night Baseball has concluded. The Phillies with an 11-4 victory over the New York Yankees. Now both teams will travel to different destinations for their Monday games. The Yankees going to Chicago to take on the White Sox, where they are slightly favored with Max Fried on the mound. The Phillies are favored with Zach Wheeler on the mound in Miami to take on the Marlins, losers of 12 straight games. I do want to fade the New York Yankees and their offense, so it might be like a Yankees team total under or just a game under with Max Fried on the bump. So maybe he limits the scoring for the White Sox, and the Yankees don't score with their lackluster offense. And for the Phillies, it'll probably be maybe like a first five under or a Marlins team total under, something like that. I want to back Zach Wheeler, and I don't know if the Phillies' bats are going to be as hot as they were here at home on a Sunday night. Maybe they'll be revert back to being as quiet as they were on Friday and Saturday down in Miami. But Zach Wheeler, 10-2 on the year with a 2.16 ERA, definitely in the mix in the National League Cy Young race. He is the second favorite behind Jacob Mizorowski of the Brewers. Miz, who had a record-setting performance here on Sunday, striking out the first seven batters of the game, striking out 12 of the first 13 batters he faced, and became the first pitcher since 1920 to have 11 strikeouts and no hits allowed in the first four innings of a baseball game. Miz minus 260 to win the Cy Young. Wheeler plus 750. I'm already in on Wheeler. I mean, I already have the ticket in pocket. But after that performance by Miz here on Sunday, even though he's only going to pitch four or five innings in these starts for the remainder of the season, the voters are going to vote for him because of just the fastball, the strikeout numbers, the record-setting performances each and every time he takes the mound. It's just might be a little bit too much for Zach Wheeler to overcome. But we'll see. You skip a couple of more starts here down the stretch, and now things might get interesting if we don't really see Miz a lot in the second half. We've only seen him pitch nine innings and since the last, what, month, right? So kind of maybe out of sight, out of mind if he skips a start or two here down the stretch. We'll have to monitor that. The Brewers did say that they will be monitoring his innings here in the second half of the season. But that's kind of the way that I want to fade the two teams playing here on Sunday Night Baseball, is to look maybe towards the unders or maybe first five unders in their games coming up here on Monday. So the Phillies take on the Marlins. Zach Wheeler on the bump for the Phillies and Tyler Phillips going for the Marlins. Yankees in Chicago to take on the White Sox. Max Fried making his second start off the IL goes for the Yankees. Noah Schultz going for the White Sox. For Max Fried, he looked like Max Fried in his first start after coming off the IL. He went five shutout innings, only one hit allowed, seven strikeouts, and one walk against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Max Fried looked great. No reason to think that he doesn't have another solid performance in him in his second start off of the IL. Going to be a fun week in Major League Baseball as we gear up towards the trade deadline, which comes your way on August 3rd. We've already had some small deals kind of trickling in. The Red Sox yesterday make that trade. Connelly Early, a pitcher, goes to Washington. Connor Meade, the infielder, goes to Boston in return. Today, the Pirates made a deal with the White Sox where the White Sox acquired Jose Urquidy, a relief pitcher, for another relief pitcher. So just kind of a swap of relief pitchers there between the White Sox and the Pirates. Urquidy, you might remember from his time as a starting pitcher with the Houston Astros several years ago, is not the same guy. He's been injured. He's been up and down with the minors, and he hasn't pitched in the majors since May or June. Only five innings, I think, or five games he's appeared in this year. So we'll see if Urquidy can contribute to the White Sox as they make a push here to win the American League Central Division. So something to keep an eye on here as we progress throughout the second half of the Major League Baseball season. It's going to be a lot of football being talked about over the next week or so. Training camps are underway around the NFL. We are seeing veterans report, full teams report. Everyone's gearing up for the NFL preseason. Hall of Fame game is on August 6th. And there was some news this weekend here in the NFL. Yesterday, we found out the report that Kyle Shanahan, 49ers head coach, had suffered some injuries in a car accident. He is doing fine. He is recovering. There were some questions about his availability to coach here during the preseason. And some people even were wondering about his availability to coach week one, the game in Australia against the Rams. John Lynch had a press conference yesterday and said that there's nothing, according to doctors or Kyle's recovery or anything, that says that he won't be able to coach in week number one. And in fact, Kyle Shanahan was present at 49ers practice today. He didn't run the practice. The assistant coaches ran the practice, but he was there looking on. So he is on his way to recover from those injuries, and it shouldn't affect the 49ers in their preparation for the season. It shouldn't affect the 49ers throughout the preseason and, of course, leading into week one in Australia against the Los Angeles Rams. Now, some reports coming out of 49ers training camp earlier today, and this is kind of, you know, interesting. It maybe warms my heart because last year I did have a bet on Nick Bosa to be the defensive player of the year. And obviously that one just got flushed down the drain when he got injured and was out for the season. But Nick Bosa, according to reports coming out of 49ers training camp here on Sunday, is that he looks to be in full health, full 100% go. And I think it was Trent Williams who had the quote that said he actually looks better than he did before the injury. So I wonder if we're going to get a refreshed or rejuvenated and the best version of Nick Bosa here for the 49ers going into this season. Also hearing good reports about Mike Evans in that offense, right? What's he going to look like with Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey? And the 49ers are a team that it feels like people are just forgetting about them. That obviously with the Rams acquiring Myles Garrett, as stacked as they are, and they are the short shot favorite to win the Super Bowl, I get it. That division is likely going to the Rams. But it feels like people are just writing off the San Francisco 49ers like they are a talented team in their own right. The 49ers could be a team that, you know, gets overlooked this year. Something to pay close attention to, you know, the public bias, the media bias that exists as we work our way through the NFL preseason, which teams are getting more love from the media, which teams are getting more love in the early betting markets from the public, just because it's the sexy story. It's the sexy team, right? Myles Garrett goes to the Rams. Everyone wants to bet the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford going to come back for one more year. Matt Stafford's going to lead them to the Super Bowl, and then he's going to retire, and it'll be Ty Simpson's team. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to rush to judgment on these teams. I think the 49ers will have something to say about what goes on in that division. But it's understandable why everyone loves the Rams. Heck, I love the Rams too. Love the Rams, love the Bills. Do I love the Ravens? That's the question. Ravens are the second favorite to win the Super Bowl, tied with the Buffalo Bills behind the Los Angeles Rams. But can I get behind a first-year head coach in Jesse Minter to lead his team to the Super Bowl? There's a lot to like about Jesse Minter. There's a lot to like about his system defensively. There's a lot to like about what he did at Michigan, right, prior to joining the Chargers and Harbaugh. What do we think? First-year head coach now all of a sudden going to lead Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to the Super Bowl? I don't know. Like, of the first-year head coaches, and I'm not counting, like, Kevin Stefanski going to Atlanta. Like, that doesn't count for me first year. Same thing, John Harbaugh going to, the Giants, or even McCarthy, you know, with the Steelers. Like, I'm not counting that. Like, the first-year coaches, like Jesse Minter getting his first head coaching job. LaFleur getting his first head coaching job. Halfley getting his... And does Halfley even count? Because he had such a good, successful career as a college coach at Boston College. Now it's his first NFL head coaching job. I don't even know if I'd count Jeff Halfley as a first-year head coach. I would count a guy like Jesse Minter, first-year head coach. I would count the guy like Mike LaFleur, you know, first-year head coach. What do we expect from those guys the first time they're leading a team and having to deal with not just being a coordinator, but having to run the entire show? That's an adjustment that takes time. So I don't know if I can get behind the Ravens as a Super Bowl team right now in Jesse Minter's first year. But look, whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, or Super Bowl odds, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, and it helps you get ahead of the market as training camps are getting underway. Inside, you're going to find full breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and so much more. And you can get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get, too, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes the daily best bets, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg, right here with you on Live Bet Sunday on the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live. My thanks to all of you who have tweeted in so far with your contributions throughout the entire program. And congrats to all of you who tailed our Sunday night baseball bets between the Yankees and the Phillies. We went 4-0, plus 565 in those four bets. We cashed with the Phillies to win the first five innings. We had them minus a half a run. We cashed with Will Warren over 1.5 walks. Will Warren to win the race to 3 strikeouts, which was plus 265. And the live bet that we gave out during the game, which was the live over 10.5. We went clean sweep 4-0 here on Sunday Night Baseball. Congrats to all those who tailed. Talked a lot of football here on the program as well. We talked college football, where I told you guys how high I am on Notre Dame. And a lot of it has to do with the cupcake schedule. Andy tweeting in at the program, Notre Dame has the 66th ranked schedule, according to Phil Steele. No wonder you're penciling them in for a playoff spot. Their schedule is pathetic, as it usually is, end quote. Andy, thanks for the tweet there. Yeah, it is a very, very manageable schedule. And they should be a playoff team. And playing with a chip on their shoulder for not being a playoff team last year when they should have been a playoff team last year. CJ Carr is the favorite to win the Heisman for a reason. Notre Dame, the second favorite to win the national championship behind Ohio State for a reason. And they are my bet to win the national championship after what we saw from, like I said, from last season. And, of course, looking at their cupcake of a schedule as we see this year. They should be definitely a college football playoff team. We're going to talk plenty more college football throughout the weeks here on VSIN as we get closer and closer to week number 0. This week, we'll have a lot of college football content. Our college football betting guide here at VSIN does come out on August 3rd. So a lot of previews of teams in the futures market as well, Heisman bets. And the questions just continue to rise throughout college football. We had SEC Media Days this past week where the two top stories were Lane Kiffin at LSU and what that's going to look like here in year number one. And there's a lot of people that have come on this network and others that want to fade Lane Kiffin and LSU in week number one. Their schedule is very difficult. And is it going to mesh together so quickly in year number one? We don't know. My biggest question is Sam Levitt the guy at quarterback? I don't know. You give a guy a ton of money who's dealing with an injury to come over from the Big 12 at Arizona State where, yeah, he had incredible moments at Arizona State. The SEC is a different league. This is a different animal. I don't know if Sam Levitt's the guy. We'll find out. We will find out. And the other top story from SEC Media Days is Arch Manning in Texas. Is Sarkisian on the hot seat? Texas is loaded with talent. Is this the year they have to do something? They're the second favorite behind Georgia to win the SEC. Their win total is only at 9.5 games, though, and it's juiced to the under. And that's because their schedule is difficult. They have Ohio State the second week of the season. And Arch Manning, the second favorite to win the Heisman behind CJ Carr of Notre Dame. The expectations upon him last year were ridiculous. But as Steve Sarkisian told us during SEC Media Days, Arch Manning handled those expectations and handled those pressures. He had a slow start to the season, but there was a stretch at the end of the year, a four-game stretch where Arch Manning was the guy. Where he had, it was like 11 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, something like that, in just a four-game span. Throwing for like over 300 yards in every game. He showed flashes why he can be the man this year for Texas and lead them to an SEC title. The way that I would handle Arch Manning in Texas, it's all about how you view the week 2 game against Ohio State. That game is in Austin, by the way. And right now, up on DraftKings, the Texas Longhorns are a 1.5 point favorite over Ohio State in that game. That market might change as we get closer, of course, and money might come in on Ohio State. Also, depending on how both teams look in week number one, there's going to be some recency bias here. But you need to bet Texas and need to bet Arch Manning based on what you think happens in that week 2 game. And if you think that Texas beats Ohio State, then you need to bet Texas now, and you need to bet Arch Manning now to win the Heisman. Because with a win over Ohio State in week number 2, the market is going to shorten for both Texas to win the national championship and Arch to win the Heisman. if you think that Texas loses to Ohio State in week number two, you wait and then you buy in on Texas after the loss. Because the reality is, a loss to Ohio State in week number two does not hurt Texas A&M, Texas in the long run here. A win makes a statement for Arch Manning in Texas, but a loss doesn't do anything because they can still run through the entire SEC schedule, and that's going to be more impressive. Even they can have one SEC loss and still make the SEC title game and be a two-loss SEC champion or a three-loss SEC champion loser that still might find themselves in the college football playoff. And for Arch Manning, you can overcome an early loss to the number one team in the nation in Ohio State, right? And bounce back, have a great SEC schedule, have a great end of the season, have plenty of those marquee opportunities to showcase yourself to the national television audience in these big matchups and win the Heisman Trophy. But you will get a much bigger payout, much higher odds on both Texas and Ohio State should they lose, Texas and Arch Manning should they lose to Ohio State in week two. So make your Texas and Arch Manning bets based on what you think happens in that game against Ohio State. If you think Texas wins, you make the bets now. If you think Texas loses, you wait till after the game and then you buy in on the dip on Texas. That's how you have to treat them in the futures market. This week, it is Big Ten Media Day. Speaking of Ohio State, they are the favorite to win the national title. Their roster is stacked. And their quarterback, Julian Sain, is 13-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. He should be shorter. He should be right there with Arch Manning and CJ Carr as the favorites. Plus 600, plus 700. Plus 1,300 doesn't make a lot of sense when you consider they're expected to be the number one team in the nation. They're expected to be like an 11-12 win team, undefeated, maybe. And if that happens, how is their quarterback not going to be amongst the Heisman finalists? Unless you truly think he's going to be a game manager and their running back, Bo Jackson, is going to be the reason why they win all of these games. Julian Sain's going to get love here in the Heisman market if Ohio State has the season that people think Ohio State's going to have. But again, maybe it matters the same way on how you think that Texas game plays out. If you think Ohio State loses when they go to Texas, then maybe you wait till after week two and then buy in on Ohio State and then buy in on Julian Sain as well. The same way that you want to handle Arch Manning in Texas could be the same way you handle Ohio State and Julian Sain. That's all I'm saying. Other football news in the NFL, the Cardinals have given Jacoby Brissett a contract extension, or not really an extension, but a pay bump. Okay, so they're paying him like a starting quarterback this year. $15.5 million guaranteed this year, which means it has a chance to make $21 million. It basically tells us that Jacoby Brissett's the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals this year. And they're not going to bench him at some point to go to Carson Beck. This is a team that's likely going to have the worst record. They are the odds-on favorite to have the worst record in the NFL this year, and Jacoby Brissett is going to be their quarterback for this entire season. He'll be the 12th quarterback in the Super Bowl era to make season-opening starts for four or more different teams. How crazy is that? And it was a fun bet last year, betting the over on his passing yards because they were losing in all these games, and he was racking up 400 yards here, 500 yards there. Maybe that plays itself out again here in this coming season with the Arizona Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up tomorrow, right here on VSIN, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis will kick off your morning on VSIN by the Books. It gets underway at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Then at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin are in on a numbers game at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Prop Points will have you covered. I'm sure they're going to be getting your preview of the afternoon game in Major League Baseball between the Rangers and the Mariners. It's all coming up right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Once again, you can always hit me up on Twitter as we are monitoring any news that breaks with the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Did see a tweet from Shams that, I guess this is breaking news from a couple of minutes ago. The Nuggets are matching the Thunder's 2-year offer sheet on Spencer Jones. Okay, Nuggets keep Spencer Jones. There's your news from Shams. See, I leave you with a little bit of breaking news here on this live bet edition. Congratulations for anybody who tailed us on Sunday Night Baseball. Let's get some more winners coming up here on Monday. I'm Scott Seidenberg, right here with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.